It's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. We're out and about, but we didn't go too far from the station. We just decided to nip across the road into the Highland Motors showroom here in the mountaintop in Letterkenny as we take The Score on the road to celebrate the start of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior and Intermediate and Junior Club Championships, which are all getting up and running this weekend. We'll talk about that in a second, but we are here for the next hour. We'll also have soccer. Keith Cowns joined us for a weekly League of Ireland chat. There's a lot of managerial happenings, of course, around the Northwest clubs. We'll be hearing from Keith very, very soon on the programme. Just, well, after 7:30 tonight in our soccer segment on The Score, as we focus first of all on Gaelic games and the start of the club championship. And if you're watching on our stream, you will see us here in the idyllic setting of the showroom of Highland Motors, which is your main dealer for Renault, Dacia and Citroen, and you can nip in at any stage and you can take one of these brand new 262 cars for a test drive. Lawrence and the team will certainly look after you. We're delighted to be here and we're delighted to be talking club championship once again, which kicks off this weekend. And again, if you're watching the stream, you'll see who my guests are. Two men that know a thing or two about winning championships in Donegal, particularly with St. Eunan's, Brendan Kilcoyne and Barry Meehan. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Good evening, Oisín. How are you doing?
Oisín.
Good to see you.
Good to
Barry's still in summer mode, Brendan. He's the shorts on him.
I had the shorts on all day too, but I thought I better make a bit of an effort coming up here this evening, Oisín, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, it's been a while since we got really focused on football because the inter-county scene, Brendan, came to a sudden end at the hands of Dublin, and that was, what, the second last week in June. So we're starting to go full throttle and full pelt once again, but it's great to be at it again, isn't it?
It is indeed, Jai, and as you said, disappointing season, I suppose, for Donegal in the All-Ireland Championship, but it was a brilliant All-Ireland Championship. We saw some brilliant football, and listen, we're now at the club scene. This is the time of year the club players look forward, and they've been getting ready all year between gym programs and training sessions. And you know, we've had the league, it's not a great indicator of what's going to happen in the championship, so we haven't, but we're all ready to go, and teams are all excited, players all excited, ready to go this weekend, Oisín.
Yeah, you two boys know each other pretty well because you are involved in underage football with St. Eunan's. Barry, what's it been like for you? You've stepped away from the senior ranks at St. Eunan's, a club, of course, you led to the Dr. Maguire a couple of years ago, so how are you filling the time now?
Plenty of time. I'm just back there from, I was on holidays in Thailand and Dubai for the last three weeks. So.
One reason on the short.
That's why I'm still on holiday mode. Yeah. But no, listen, family holiday, it was great. We're back now and involved Brenton there, the under-16s with St. Eunan's. It was very enjoyable, you know, watching those young lads develop and, you know, trying to maybe maximise their potential over the next number of years. And, you know, listen, it's just enjoyable just still to have the foot in, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk football. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll start with St. Eunan's. Club that you two guys, of course, are members of. Kieran Donnelly's now in charge in the fold of St. Eunan's. We're not hearing a lot coming out of the camp. The old rivals, Aru of Ballyshannon, are providing the opposition at the O'Donnell Park at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. And St. Eunan's, I suppose, Brendan, would see themselves as one of the sides that can reclaim the title this year.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know, new management in place. Barry did brilliantly there, but with new manager in place, and that always injects new life into, you know, a team. So there's very little word coming out of the camp. We, you know, I'm not sure what the story is with Sean Patton, whether he's fit to play or not. There's no word on that, but we know that Eunan's have a lot of quality, that they'll be there, thereabouts, and they're probably one of these teams we were discussing before we came on air. Like, only two teams have won the championship in the last 7 years, and Niamh Conlon have won five of them. St. Eunan's have won two of them. So, you know, they're the two teams at the top of the pile. And Eunan's going in against Ballyshannon at the weekend. You know, there is, as you say, there's a history, but it's kind of gone back a few years. So they are Ballyshannon, Aru, Ballyshannon have struggled in recent years. So they have, despite, I think they got to two or three quarterfinals kind of a number of years ago. But the last 2 years, 3 years, they ended up in a relegation playoff last year against St. Noel's, played really well. I was down at the game and got over the line on that occasion. But they've had difficult enough times over the last number of years. But they have a lot of good young players coming through, and they'll be looking to the likes of Jack Gallagher, you know, to keep the scoreboard ticking over for them. But you'd have to say Eunan's deservedly going in as favourites, and you would expect them to come out on top, and this particularly with home advantage.
Yeah, Aru have a tough Irish start to the championship. They've need Connell the week after, so it's about managing these opening 2 weekends, so it is for them, Barry.
Yeah, and I suppose like for the likes of Eirua, compared to other teams, their championship starts this weekend. Do you know, where other teams maybe can get, you know, can ease their way into it and maybe look to get a couple of ones on the board, maybe to have that, maybe 2-4 points, they'll probably get through to a preliminary quarter final and then the real championship will start. But for Eirua, out against St Unions this weekend, out against New Connell the following weekend, if they don't win or don't get any points out of those, they're in bother straight away. So like straight away, jeopardy enters the fray for Eirua, you know, and they suppose with their league campaign, they just did all right, you know, they stayed in Division 1, they'll be happy enough with that there. But they're a good footballing side. We went down there last year, down to Father Tierney Park in the championship, and, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, we were under a lot of pressure. They'd be, I think it was 1-2 or 1-3, you know, so it took us a while to find ourselves. So St Unions will have to be ready on Saturday, you know, because no doubt they're going to be coming, Heroes going to be coming, looking for a good start to try and get a good start into the championship.
What about the start in Mahrigallen, Brendan? Gweedore against St Michael's, two sides that were involved in the battle for relegation. Gweedore ended up being relegated into Division 2, which is not sitting well, I know, with the people down in the parish there. But we're expecting a different type of football now with some players coming back, but there is a few missing. And both these sides will be looking to get off to a good start at the weekend.
Yeah, they will indeed. And two sides that didn't enjoy really good league campaigns, as you mentioned, ended up in a relegation playoff, which Michael's got through. Gweedore relegated to Division 2, which is strange, you know. And you go back to last year's county final, they looked to be in the driving seat, you know, against Naofe Connell on that occasion, but just Naofe Connell did Naofe Connell and came back and got the upper hand towards the latter part of the game. Gweedore, Owen McNeilis hasn't played all year. Looks like he's a doubt for the year, that he could be out. I'm hearing that Dara Boyle is away. You know, so they have problems down there. But I will always put a proviso with Gweedore. They have huge championship pedigree, so they have. And you always treat them with respect. And particularly down in Mahrigallen, they're a really, really tough side to beat down there. St. Michael's too are another team, you know, really hard to beat at the bridge. Michael Langan is back. He was away touring the world. You might have seen him over in Thailand or around them parts. I think actually he was in Vietnam too for a while. So obviously he's their go-to man and, you know, absolutely huge player for them. But they're an experienced side, St. Michael, so they are. And they've a lot of physicality about them. And that's going to be a cracking game, so it is, between Gweedore and St. Michael's. And, you know, Barry referenced the jeopardy. You know, both teams will be anxious to get points on the board to get their season up and running. Really difficult one to call. You think Gweedore with home advantage, but I have a slight fancy for St. Michael's on this one.
Okay, because Michael's are a different team when Michael Langan plays. Is that a fair enough statement?
Very fair comment, Oisin, yeah. Now, I suppose the big question then, you know, you look back at last year's semi-final, you know, did St. Michael's do themselves justice against Gweedore in that semi-final? You know, so this is an opportunity for them to go out maybe and try and have a crack at Gweedore when, you know, suppose there's a thought process out there at the moment that Gweedore aren't at their best, you know, so are St. Michael's going to take that, their chance at the weekend?
Yeah, we'll wait to see. Right, on to the 7:30 games on Saturday. By the way, Gweedore against St. Michael's, we're going to have Maureen O'Donnell down there with updates on Saturday on Highland. Neve Connell against Downings, the defending champions, are playing host to Downings, and again, very much favourites for this one, Neve Connell. They are missing a few players at this stage, but we expect maybe the side from Glenties Fintown, Brendan, just to work their way through the opening two rounds before they really put the pedal down when it comes to later rounds on it.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know, home advantage with the experience that they have and the depth of squad. We know that Max, Shea, Finbar, we're travelling for a few weeks. They are missing. Mark McDevitt is away also. So, you know, they have a lot of players missing. But on the plus side for them, Kieran Thompson is back. We saw how he was missed with Donegal this year. You know, such a fantastic footballer. So it's huge for them to have him back. And also Eunan Doherty, who has been away travelling for the last couple of years, is back, I believe, with them too. And Downing's, listen, we're talking about players that aren't here. Paddy McIlwee and Johnny McGrady are two fantastic players, would walk into any team in the senior division, so they would basically, and both them are out, so they are for Downing's. Key McBride is back. Downing's put up a real strong challenge against Naofe Connell last year in the championship, so they did, and Naofe Connell had to rely on a couple of late scores to get over the line on that occasion. But I would just feel on this occasion, Naofe Connell, home advantage with the experience that they have, that they'll get their 2 points up and running, so they will.
Hasn't been a good league campaign, Barry, for Downings. They finished ninth in Division 2, was it? But is this seen as a free hit for them? Because not too many people expecting much off them in this opening game.
I think so, you know, and I suppose we saw last year too that Niamh Connell kind of eased their way into the championship, and I use the word ease, I don't mean it like that there, you know, but they didn't really get going until the knockout stages. They kind of, you know, that first game against Glenswally, they were slow to start, you know, again down in Downings. Downings were very good in the first half, and Niamh Connell had to really work back into it in the second half and just about got out of there with the win, you know. And I think what they'll do this year again is they'll start blooding, you know, the players that haven't been playing all league, you know, they're going to go back to some of the old guard again, and they're going to, you know, they're going to be the team to beat. Any team that's going to win the championship this year is going to have to beat Niamh Connell along the way, and that's just a given now over the last number of years. But for Downings, it definitely is a free shot at the weekend, because this is probably the time to get Niamh Connell early on.
Yeah, no doubt one of the, or probably the tie of the round is the Derby, Park Niamh Columba on Saturday at 7:30, Glenswally against Termon. And we'll also have updates on Highland from that one. Ryan Ferry, sports editor of the Donegal News, will bring the coverage in association with the guys here at Highland Motors in the Mountaintop. And I suppose the big question is, will Michael Murphy play?
Yeah.
Brendan, over to you.
What do you know, Brendan? I don't have the answer to that question, so I don't. I know that Donal Galler and Di Gilday, who will be two of the younger guns, are away travelling too. Yeah. An awful lot of young fellas from Donegal have gone to the States this summer.
So, to see the World Cup, so
they are, yeah. So I don't know what the situation with Michael is. And, you know, I'm sure Glenswilly will be looking to put a big assault on the championship this year, but there's a huge task against the Termon team, who had a brilliant run through the championship last year, put out their own St. Junans in the prelim quarter final, and were really, really unlucky to lose out to the eventual winners when they probably should have had the game wrapped up. And maybe that lack of experience, a very young Termon team. I think Keane McMenamin is back now over his injury troubles, so he's a huge addition to them too. So, you know, Termon be going into the championship as one of the outsiders kind of thing, but a lot of people will give them a real chance of going deep into the championship. So, you know, really difficult one at all. Glenswilly, you would think, with their experience, with home advantage, are going to be really difficult to play. And you think if Michael Murphy is on the field, they might just sway it, but it promised to be a really intriguing clash, so it does, between the two local clubs.
Yeah, when you're talking about Termon, like, when you see the opposition that's possible there in the rounds to come, because the big guns, the Gadors, the Unions, the Niamh Connell, the Glenswillies, the likes of Fourmaster, they're all on one side of the draw. These are all oppositions for the likes of Termon and Éireann and St. Michael's and McCool's and the likes of Kilcarbarry. So things for certain clubs could become very, very tricky as the rounds go on as well. And listen, I'm just saying Termon are meeting Glenswilly, but could be Unions the next day. It could be Niamh Connell as well to come. So there's a couple of big games possibly on the horizon for Termon.
Oh, absolutely, Oisin. And, you know, I think this is probably a game maybe that Termon have targeted, you know, going by the way they've come the last couple of years after winning the intermediate, having a really, really good Gaeltacht and a really, really good league last year. They don't seem to have put the same emphasis on the league this year. And, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but they just weren't at the same pitch, I don't think, that they were last year. And I think they might be holding back and maybe looking to come for championship. And I think this is a big year for this Termon squad. You know, they're coming off the back of those really good minor squads they have, and they're reaching probably that 23, 24, 25 age category now. So they're going to be thereabouts. And I think they'll target this here game in the Glen. You know, it's big derby. It's a great opportunity for them. And as you say, not knowing what's coming down the line, you know, they might be thinking, right, if we can get a couple of points here, this sets us in good stead, and especially with two home games to come. Yeah. And again, as Bryn said, if Michael Murphy's there, it could change the whole dynamic of the thing for Glenswilly.
Yeah, it's nearly like what we said about Michael Langan. Michael's a different team with Michael Langan, yeah. Same with Glenswilly. Dunloe against McCool's, Barry, we'll just stay with you because you met a Dunloe side in 2024 in the final, which, of course, you've lifted the Dr. Maguire Cup. Dunloe getting to the league final this year. McCool's, suppose the big question is, just like Murphy, is Oisin Gallen going to be there this weekend? But both of those sides will be in a similar vein going. 2 points here in this game could be crucial.
Absolutely. And listen, it doesn't matter if it's league or championship, Dunloe's a very, very difficult place to go to. It's a very difficult place to get a result, you know. So I think McCool's are going to need the likes of Oisin Gallen to get a result there, because Dunloe are going well. They brought through, like, Luke Clerkin's another year older, you know, a good young player, young Danny McCready.
Still out of last year.
Yeah, you know, and they're bringing through that there two or three every year as well to back up the squad they had in 24. I know Barry Curran has emigrated since, you know, he's headed off. You know, there's a few more away, but Dunloe are going well. They had a very, very good league, and they'll be very, very hard to beat down there. I suppose the big thing for McCool's is, you know, if they can get a couple of points on the board, it's a good start for them again before they play St. Junans in the second game.
Yeah, that game's at 2 o'clock in Dunloe on Sunday. At the same time, last year's intermediate champions and this year's Division 2 league winners are heading to Glenfinn. That could be a very, very interesting tie. And again, 2 points could be crucial for both of these sides as we come to the latter rounds of the group stages. And when you get them on the first day, Brendan, it could be, that could be the difference in where you're placed and what your opposition is going to be come the end of the fourth round.
Yeah, both teams will see this as a huge fixture, so they will. And, you know, unfortunately for Glenfinn, I think a few, you know, Luke McGlynn, Daniel Marley, a few of these lads are travelling too, so they are. So they're a huge loss for them. Glenfinn got off to a good start in the league when they had them. They kind of faltered then towards the latter part of the league. Coming up against last year's intermediate champions, you said, Naif Columba Glen, really good side, have had a really good season, you know, promoted to Division 1. So, you know, they're going to really fancy themselves. They're on a big high down there, you know, with the success they've had over the last 12 months. So you would expect them to maybe have too much for this club, for Frank McGlynn's Glenfinn, but it's a really tight one to call, so it is. And Glenfinn at home, down in their home ground, are it's a tough place to go, tight pitch, so it is. So, you know, that promised to be a really, really good game. But I would expect Naif Columba possibly to come out on top of that due to the fact that Glenfinn are missing a couple of their marquee forwards.
Okay. First of the 4 o'clock games on Sunday is the match that we're going to have full live commentary from, again, in association with Highland Motors. Our draw against Kilcare. We wait to see if the Kilcare big guns are going to be available. We're talking about the likes of Ryan McHugh and obviously Patrick McBerty. How far, Barry, are Kilcare off where they were a number of years ago? Now, they were lost in the quarter-final stage last year.
That's right.
Can they become a top four side again, championship, can they?
Kilcare can beat anybody on their day. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely can. It depends who they have available. I thought last year they were really, really struggling in the league. They came to O'Donnell Park. They were a different team against us in the first game in the championship. They had Patrick McBerty, they had Stephen, they had Matthew McLean, you know, and I think Matthew McLean's a huge player for them. There's word that he's injured, you know, but I think if Kilcare are going to go places this year, they need Matthew fit. If they need Patrick McBerty, they need all their top guns. They've had a decent league. They had a good league this year. They've blooded a lot of good young players, you know, something they probably put a bit of emphasis on down there, but they're coming up against an Ardra team that have got promoted from Division 2, you know, so they're going to have the one that they're back as well. But again, they're missing a couple of players. They're missing Connor Casson, they're missing Gavin Sweeney through Cruciates, you know. So listen, it'll be tight, but I expect Kilcare to come through in that one.
Okay, the other game, we'll go to you because I know you know the young guys of Four Masters very, very well, Brendan, having watched them coming up through the underage ranks. Four Masters are being tipped as one of the favourites, so they are now for the senior championship. Obviously, what has come through the 20s and the 21s and the 18s and the 16s. And Kelly Beggs is the opposition. It's a big south off the gap fixture in Tyrconnell Park in Donegal Town, 4 o'clock on Sunday. Is it fair about what everybody is saying, that they're now becoming one of the top sides in the county? I know we had a discussion beforehand that you still see it's hard to see outside a top two. So it is, but can Four Masters get into that mix?
I think they certainly can, yeah. Listen, there's a huge expectation over this Four Masters team. They had so much
success.
That's
how you deal with that too. It's how they deal with that expectation.
Exactly, yeah. They've had such success, so they have Oisin at underage level, and that, you know, that doesn't always automatically transfer to senior level, so it doesn't. But there's something different about this Four Masters, guys. The quality of the young players that they have coming through. I know there are a few of them away travelling too, but they still have a huge depth in that squad, so they have, because of their success at underage. And, you know, there is a chance that they're going to make a breakthrough some of the years. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year or the year after, if they can keep all them lads together, because there's such an array of talent across the field, so they have. But they're coming up against a Killy Beggs, a Huey McFadden-inspired Killy Beggs. Oh, Owen Van Gallagher is over his injury troubles. And they also have a lot of quality, apart from them two players too, Killy Beggs. And they will also always, come championship, put up a dogfight, so they will, because they just have that in them. They have that championship pedigree and history down through the years. So you would fancy Four Masters to come through in this. You know, you go back, I spoke about Terman being unlucky to lose out to Naif Connell last year. Four Masters were also unlucky to lose out to Naif Connell last year. Again, they had them by the ropes, and I said Naif Connell did what Naif Connell did enough to get over the line and powered on to win the championship. So Four Masters will see themselves as challengers this year, but it's a huge step for them, so it is. And, you know, there used to be a top four in Donegal, whereby you had St. Junan's, Naif Connell, Gidor, Kilcare. I think the fact that, you know, only St. Junan's and Naif Connell have dominated the honours list over the last 7-8 years since Gidor won the Ulster Championship, that you talk about a big two. Can Four Masters change that and break into that big two and make it a big three?
Can they, Barry?
there's no doubt in the can, no doubt in the can, but it takes time. You know, when you look at, I think...
Is this the right time then?
Well, put me on the spot, I think.
Putting you on the spot.
Put me on the spot. I don't think they'll want it this year. I don't think they'll want it. But they'll definitely have a say against some of the big teams. Okay. You know, I look back at, you know, Union's teams when they came through with young players and even Niamh Connell. It took them a while. Mm. You know, it took them a while to get right through and to dominate. You know, so there's no doubting that Four Masters can beat a St. Union's. There's no doubting they can beat Niamh Connell. Can they beat the two of them?
Right.
That's the one.
Who is, I'm putting you on the spot again, who is going to want it then?
I'll say St. Union's every day.
Brendan, I'm not even going to look at you. I'm looking out the window here.
Listen, me heart would want to be St. Union's, but me head would tell me that Niamh Connell have so much talent at their disposal. They've Kieran Thompson, their talisman, back this year at full throttle, having got over the line last year without him. The young fellas have another year under their belt. Max Shea, mm-hmm. Mark McDevitt, Finbar Rorty, they've developed another year. So I think, you know, they have to go in as favourites, and deservedly so, for what they've done on the pitch, and they've shown how difficult they are to beat. But Barry referenced it, a lot of these teams are, you know, on a one-to-one are capable of beating each other. The likes of Terman, the likes of Four Masters, St. Junan's, Gidor, Kilcar are capable of beating any. So, yeah, you have that openness about it. And I think, you know, what we're looking forward to is a good open championship. We saw that in the All-Ireland Championship. The games were harder to predict. And I think we'll see an element of that at club level too.
Okay. Just, well, it's like a double-barred question. There's lots of players away, particularly from the big clubs, some key players. Well, other clubs are looking to keep all their key players there so they can get points on the board early in the championship to help their survival. Is there enough jeopardy in this group stage of the Donegal Championship? And is it fair as well that these players are all the way and then come back after two rounds and then play the latter rounds and then it really ramps up? Sort of a double-barred thing there, Barry, but you know where I'm coming from on it.
I do, and like I honestly, I don't like the system. I don't like it. Yeah. I just think the championship doesn't really click into gear until the preliminary quarter-final. Mm. Up until that there, you have maybe teams trying to avoid relegation. You could be drawn against some of the bigger teams, and you might beat them, but your score difference is going to be low compared to if you're drawing against a weaker team and you put up a big score. Last year, there was a situation where teams on the last day knew exactly what they had to score to get into the top four, and teams knew that they weren't going to get into the top four no matter what, so they could rest players.
That's right.
You know, so it seems to be flawed, you know? Yeah. So does it really kick in the gear? No. You need 4 points will take you through to a preliminary quarter final. That's your two home games. You know, so teams can even look at that there. And I think from a point of view, I think that's Niamh Connell did that well last year. They got the points that they needed just to get in, and then they kicked into gear. And as it went on, they got stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know what they were? They were actually battle hardened when it came to it. And probably we were the year before, because we played Kilcar, we played Niamh Connell, we played Gidor early. So we were battle hardened by the time we got to it. You know, and I think that there's what teams need to be. They need to have that there, you know, develop that there competitiveness by the time they get to real championship, which is the preliminary quarter final stage.
Just a minute, Brendan, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, listen, I would echo everything that Barry said there. There is, you know, early on in this championship, there's a lot of games that aren't going to affect the outcome of the championship come the latter stages, and you know it is only the preliminary quarter final stage, or maybe going into the last game or two, round 3-4, first couple of rounds. There's so many players missing, and there is an element of unfairness that maybe to some clubs, and particularly this year, the fact that the draw has been so heavily topped on one side, yeah, with a lot of the big guns on one side of the draw, is going to make it very difficult for some teams. So it is, but it is what it is, and we're here, we're ready to throw in the ball Saturday evening, and that's what we're all looking forward to, Oisín. And you know, irrespective of whether we think it's a good or a bad system, It's going to deliver a county champion at the end of the year, yeah. And teams are going to have to get up and running this year, this week.
There's, of course, a full programme of Intermediate Football Championship and Donegal Junior Football Championship action as well. All the fixtures are available on DonegalGA.ie for this weekend. And, of course, the streaming service is also available this year once again, with a season pass now available for all the matches in the Donegal Championship, with unlimited access spread right across the championship of the games as well, from Intermediate and Junior. Been played and included there too. More details, of course, on DonegalGAA.ie. Barry Meehan and Brendan Kilcoyne, many thanks for dropping into Highland Motors here and joining us on the Score programme tonight. And all we could do is say to you, enjoy the football at the weekend. Okay,
looking
thanks,
forward
guys.
To it,
thanks very much,
thanks,
Ashin.
Okay, let's go for a commercial break here on the Score. When we return, we will be doing our League of Ireland weekly chats on the agenda. Keith Cowan after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
We are here on the Score programme tonight, broadcasting live from Highland Motors, who of course once again jumped on board with us to bring you coverage of the Donegal Championship, which starts this weekend. And once again, all the fixtures are on DonegalGA.ie. And indeed, it's the start of the Ladies Senior Football Championship as well. The first game up in Group A is tomorrow night, Friday, Mobile against Nivora Lower Rosses. That one starts at 7:30. So then, let's go to soccer games this weekend. Derry City are playing Sligo Rovers in a Northwest Derby in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland, while Finn Harps are on the road and facing into a difficult tie as the side sitting bottom in the first division head to second place Bray Wanderers. But there has, of course, been the managerial merry-go-round for the Northwest clubs in recent weeks. The latest one is Tiernan Lynch departing Derry City. So Mark Connolly is going to be on the line as interim boss tomorrow night. I've been talking about the managerial situations of those clubs and indeed looked ahead to the respective games with former Finn Harps skipper Keith Cowan, who I spoke to earlier today. Keith, how are you doing? Welcome back to the airwaves of Highland. Good to speak to you again.
You too, Ashing. Thanks very much.
Listen, only one place to start. Derry City. Tiernan Lynch is gone. They made the decision to part ways yesterday, and the hunt is on for a new manager. It seems to me the general feeling is, now, despite the board and Philip O'Doherty saying that it wasn't, but everybody seems to be surprised how long this actually took for them to go their separate ways.
Yeah, I suppose, look, there's been a lot of talking around Derry about certain situations and, you know, about players and management and, you know, relationship breakdowns and things like that. Funny, there's a source there yesterday that suggested that that Lynch maybe tried to release himself from his contract earlier in the summer there, but they couldn't come up with an agreement in terms of compensation, so he remained on. But then finally, I suppose, maybe things have come out during the week, and a few people suggested that maybe his time was up there, and that's kind of the axe was wheeled, and, you know, Tiernan Lynch was the one to depart.
Was what was going on with James McLean over the last couple of weeks and posts that he was putting up, particularly after the European game, was that a factor in all this too, do you think?
It would have to be. Yeah, you would think it would have to be, you know. It would suggest as well that, you know, the manager, the management team had, you know, had sort of lost the dressing room, so to speak. You know, look, people will have their own opinions on whether, you know, James McLean was right or wrong. But, you know, to come out and speak so brazen and in your opinions of the club and, you know, of the team and, you know, the management stuff, it doesn't do anybody any favours, really. You know, like, there's really an unwritten rule in football that, you know, you don't come out and say stuff like that. There creates such a negative impact amongst the team and amongst the squad. All that stuff needs to be done behind closed doors, and McLean's experienced enough to know that.
I don't want to call it an attack, but was it planned then by McLean, do you think? It's all part of the process.
Well, you know, it's not the first time it's happened this season. You know, when he was in RTE during the World Cup, when he was punditry for them, you know, he suggested then that, or he said then, he stated that, you know, you hear things on the phone, but, you know, well, when you actually come be a part of something and you see what actually is happening, then, you know, it's not what you were told before. So that's kind of, you know, stepping out of line one time. And then, you know, after the European stuff, that's it again. Like, for me, you know, I think we were always told to do your talking on the pitch. Like, James McLean's performances since he's come in the door have been nothing to write home about. You know, you'd be thinking that he would maybe just worry about himself more, about his own performances and his own thing, you know, rather than, you know, really suggesting that it's everyone else's fault but his. But look, it's a bad look for Derry City. It's, you know, he's annoyed the most hardened Derry fan. You can see, you know, social media stuff as well, and, you know, replying to him and sort of saying that, you know, he should maybe move on himself. Look, you would think when James came into the club that it would have been a case of, right, you know, I've had my career, I've had a good career, you know, I'm going to come in here now, I'm going to maybe help the younger lads and, you know, be that maybe gel between the, you know, the management and the team and, you know, play when I need to. You know, it's not a suggestion, it's not going to, you know, extend his career, he's not going to, you know, go back into the Ireland setup, or it's not a case like that. You know, it's just been a bit of a disaster from the start. And look, he's a very Marmite character, and, you know, at the minute, just in football circles, you feel that he's letting himself down, he's letting his club down, and, you know, it's really doing nothing for his maybe legacy as a player.
Yeah. Well, he has been linked as well in some quarters and some reports this morning that he could become a player coach of Derry City, or be part of the coaching team there. Obviously, Mark Connolly is in as well now as interim manager and taking charge of the game against Sligo, which we'll talk about in a moment. Stephen Kenny is another name that's been linked. But the standout one, and it is very much coming from left field, is that of Scott Brown, former Celtic midfielder. He stepped away from Ayr back in March. He was the manager at Fleetwood, was part of the coaching team as well in Aberdeen. He has a bit of experience there, but that seems to be the person that everybody's talking about, obviously, with the Celtic link there, so does. What do you make of that, Keith?
Yeah, look, obviously he's a huge name, and, you know, he'd be one that would be very attractive to Derry City and the fan base for sure. Like, any manager coming in there now is going to see what's come before and is going to be, I suppose, slightly hesitant to see which way or who's actually in charge here, you know. You know, if they've seen what can happen in terms of player power, what's happened to Tiernan Lynch. Look, again, reports suggested that he didn't have a great rapport with the fans, but obviously, no, that's not really going to materialise if you're not winning games. So I think, I say, any manager, whether it's Scott Brown, whether it's Stephen Kenny, whoever it might be, they're going to have to really be careful in terms of, if I go in and things don't work out for me, because there's nothing really to suggest that, you know, it's just going to be it needed another manager, or, you know, a different voice in there. They're going to see what's happened before. If I don't hit the ground running, is, you know, are the players going to start, you know, namely, is James McLean going to start having a crack at me, put me under pressure, basically calling me out on social media? You know, again, this is what something Derry has to look at as well. You know, there should be, you know, like most clubs do have a ban on social media posts, you know, from players. So I'm not sure why this is any different. But yeah, again, it's a difficult place to be a manager. You know, you've got fans that, you know, expect a lot, that can be quite impatient. You know, they've won a couple of cups over the last few years, haven't won a league in a long time. So again, it's going to be one of the most difficult jobs in football. So,
is it a job, Keith, that's going to whet the appetite for somebody?
Well, you have to go in there with big assurances. You know, maybe somebody that has the character. Like, we only know, like, personally, you know, what I've seen of Scott Brown, you know, doing his media duties and doing his as a player in that, a very, very strong character, and that's what it's going to require. But it's definitely going to be a difficult job for whoever tries to get in there. And again, assurances are going to have to be, you know, put in place. It's going to have to be watertight. If Mark Connolly is involved in terms of bringing someone in, you know, he's, from what I hear, is a no-nonsense character. So hopefully he can maybe resolve some of the issues that are there at the moment. And maybe just, you know, I suppose take his time with it. The season's pretty much gone. You look, you're closer to the bottom than you are the top. You kind of feel that this should have been done a couple of months ago and maybe given Derry time to, you know, try and turn things around. But yeah, it's definitely one that's going to be interesting, and I don't feel it's going to be a very, you know, quick appointment.
Mark Connolly, obviously in charge, the director of football, has come in to take the place as interim manager for the game against Sligo Rovers this weekend. Derry currently sixth in the table. They're 8 points ahead of Sligo. Sligo are bottom of the standings, and I suppose if there's any sort of negativity around the Brandywell at the moment, one of the good ways of starting to, I suppose, fill in those cracks is a good performance at the weekend, or a good performance on Friday night, and a one.
Yeah, great. Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, Mark's obviously going to go in there and try and, you know, go with a clean slate and whatever's happened before, and, you know, try and ice, like, because I'm sure what's happened there recently, there's going to be a lot of cracks within the squad, because you're not going to have everybody going the same way. You know, you would have people that might have been in, you know, Lynch's camp, and then you would have people that was in the McLean camp, and you'd have people then that were just absolutely disgusted with both sides, and then, you know, were sort of thinking, get me out of here. So he's going to have to, you know, try and repair some of those relationships and try and get that togetherness back. And look, you know, no better game to do that maybe in a derby as well. Sligo just, you know, under new management too, Darren Purse coming in there, you know, kind of doing, you know, steadying the ship slightly, and he'll have a lot of work to do as well. But when you think back to the opening night of the season when Sligo played Derry, you know, it was a difficult game back then. Derry getting away with it, scoring late on to get a win. But yeah, look, again, you know, it's a derby game. It's one that the fans will try and, I suppose, get behind the team now once they see that there's, you know, there's that kind of change was made. And yeah, look, it should be an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, and Sligo could provide tricky opposition, because they are a bit of a bogey team for Derry, so they are. And the fact that Sligo have a new manager in now, it's amazing to think the three North West clubs are all sort of in managerial. There's lots of happenings around the managerial front in the respective three North West clubs. But Sligo, of course, installed their man a couple of weeks ago. They're looking for a bounce back as well, so they are. So it could prove to be another difficult night for Derry, so it could.
It could, and you know, it might tell a lot in terms of, you know, what the squad is actually, you know, thinking, and you know, how the different players are going to react to Lynch moving on. You know, you can sort of see when you look at Derry and you look at the team, and you know, individually, like, you think, like, you know, it's a fantastic squad, and it's, you know, they really have added, and they're probably to the detriment sometimes as well, where it's just been such a massive turnover in terms of the players that have been coming in and out. So, like, you know, Sligo will obviously see this. They'll be focusing in on the unrest and the, you know, the whole idea, and they'll be pitching their, you know, they'll be pitching their flag on that there, in terms of, you know, let's try and get at these. This place is a mess. You know, everybody hates everybody. There's so much unrest with it. You know, if we get at these, we'll be, you know, we can definitely upset them again, and, you know, a good start and get the fans on their back early on. But then again, you know, who knows with these derby games? And like I say, you know, Sligo's form we know hasn't been great. New management coming in, it's going to be a difficult night for Derry if they don't start well. But again, it could be maybe the breath of fresh air that they so badly needed.
Yeah, looking at the other games, Galway play Drogheda on Friday night as well, as does Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk. And in the battle for the title, Shamrock Rovers, if they take victory at the Tallaght Stadium on Friday, it's going to put the pressure on Pats and Bows. They're both away from home on Sunday to Shells and Waterford respectively. But a Shamrock Rovers win would put them 10 points clear with 27 games played. And basically it's another thump from the champions to the chasing pack to go, listen, we're not moving here from this top spot.
No, and they just look so good as well. You know, they're just going about their business as champions do. You know, they're midweek, obviously, with the European stuff now. They are being slightly stretched, and you know, they call it the midweek hangover or whatever, or sorry, the European hangover. After, you know, the first European thing, they dropped points away to Drogheda, had to rotate the squad. You know, Pico Lopez picking up a red card. in that game, you know, after his heroics in the World Cup. But again, he's answered his critics, you know, back in against the Albanian side last midweek there, and then, you know, getting a 3-1 win there. So look, again, they've got the squad to rotate. You know, they've got a fantastic group of players there. They've got a great manager that's, you know, is well used to being in this situation now of, you know, rotating the squad and, you know, playing every 3 or 4 days. So Dundalk, you know, have been a great, I suppose, kind of almost surprise package this year in terms of how they've went about their business in the league. You know, they won the return fixture last time out at Dundalk 1-0 against Rovers, so they'll have that in their minds too. But you just kind of seen this Rovers train just keeps ticking over and ticking over, and you'd expect them to pick up all 3 points and extend that lead at the top, like you said.
Yeah, moving on to the First Division, Fine Harps are away from home again. The managerial merry-go-round took place last week at the Balbuffet Club. Patrick McElhinney in, Kevin McHugh out. McElhinney, of course, a couple of games now under the belt, having suffered defeat in the respective games last week. That the heaviest one coming in Longford on Monday, going down by 5-0. But listen, they're on the road again, and they're heading to Bray, a side they played recently in the cup that Bray won. But listen, it's going to be another tricky enough game for McElhinney, the two McElhinney, Shane, of course, and there as well, as they head to Bray. And if they could get some sort of result, even a draw on the road, maybe that might be able to help them kickstart things there. Would it, Keith?
Yeah, look, it would. Of course it would. But you're just looking as well at just how things are and the way both clubs are at the moment. We look back in April when they played each other up in Bray, finished 2-2. And both clubs are in a very different place now. I feel, you know, obviously Harps again, you know, going through that managerial transition with Patrick McElhinney coming in, obviously, and Shane also as well. Reports suggest that that's just an interim, as we said, and he's only going to be there until the end of the season with a new manager coming in then. That's something that I heard as well. Look, he'll be looking just to steady the ship. You know, I think he sees what he has in front of him. We talk about maybe squad selection and availability. We know Conor Turris is out. We know Joel Bradley Walsh is out. So you're missing your two centre halves like he was down in Longford. You know, you're kind of thinking, you know, who have I got to pick with? What's the expectation here? I think he's just going to look at performance now individually. I think he's just going to be using these games from now to the end of the season to assess who wants to be there and who doesn't want to be there. Say it's going to be a real, you've got Bray sitting second, and like, you know, Bray, they probably, yeah, they are caught adrift from Cork there at the top, but you know, they can be equally devastating themselves when they get going. You know, they've picked up a couple of really big results this season. You know, they stuck 6 past UCD, they stuck 5 past Longford, they stuck 4 past Wexford. So when they click, you know, it can be a difficult night for the opponent. But yeah, like with Harps, like I said, with their injury concerns, what they'll be going there with, it'll just be a case of, you know, try and get everyone in and try and be difficult to beat. And you know, it's very difficult. It's very I suppose optimistic to see them pick up anything, but look, we'll see how it goes.
And listen, the stats don't lie. Harps bottom of the table, 5 wins from 26 games, 14 of those have been defeats. And they have a minus 27 score difference there. So they have goal difference. So and that's a considerable lot more than the team closest to them. Treaty is actually the next with minus 11. So the proof is there. It's in the printout. It's in the stats. And I'm thinking, Keith, that come next week, it's Cup week. So there's a break for Harps. And that break, I think, will be very much welcomed by Patrick McElhinney and his management team, because it's going to give them a wee bit more extra time maybe to work with the guys.
Yeah, for sure. It might get a couple of the injured lads back as well. It might, look, it's a break. You know, when you're on a bad run, any type of break is good. Yes, it'll give Fats time to, you know, try and work with the squad, and, you know, he'll have try and use his experience, which, you know, isn't that great either in terms of management. We have to remember to try and, you know, I suppose kind of plug some of the holes, or, you know, trying to, I suppose, see more of, you know, what he needs to do in terms of getting this squad to produce slightly more. You know, if you look back to see, you know, was this the right appointment? It's a bit of a left field appointment in terms of bringing someone in that wouldn't have a lot of experience, or bringing in two people that don't have a lot of experience in terms of management. Usually you might have someone that, you know, again, would have been around the game in terms of management, you know, that much more to try and, you know, see what a team needs like this. You know, he's not really going to be able to sign anybody unless they're free agents. If you're looking at lads that are free agents, is there a reason why they haven't been taken up by another club? Look, he's got a big task from now to the end of the season to try and steady the ship is really all you can think of. You know, I don't think Hearts fans could really think of a time where it's maybe been as bad as this. And again, you know, he's going to need the fan base there to try and, you know, help the players through this and even help himself through this, because again, it is a really difficult moment for that group of players. And, you know, I've played with a few of them, and you know, they are good lads and good characters. So, you know, I think as a group, I think they just need to come together. They need to try and, you know, help each other. And again, just help the management team try and, I suppose, navigate this really difficult period.
Yep. Harps at Bray, kickoff 7:45 Friday night. Dan Gorman will be there for Highland Radio Sport. We will have updates from that game on Friday. The other games are Athlone Town against Longford Town. Longford, of course, had the big one last time out against Harps. Leaders Cork City, who have a 20-point cushion at the top of the table. There's a big Munster derby as they take on Kerry. The other Cork side, Cove Ramblers, also at home. They play Treaty. And joint second with Bray's UCD, they have a home tie against Wexford, as Willie O'Connor said, go in search of 3 points. Just finally, Keith, before we let you go, you, of course, are in the middle of your prep ahead of the start of the new season, which Letterkenny Rovers are involved in the National League, which gets up and running at the end of August. How's prep and pre-season going for that?
Yeah, everything's going really well. You know, we haven't got a big squad as such this year. You know, we're kind of really going into it wanting to give everybody enough opportunity to show what they can do, I suppose, in this intro season into the third tier. We've had a couple of pre-season friendlies that have went fairly well. You know, usually with pre-season, obviously, it's just trying to get minutes in the legs and, you know, kind of avoid any injuries and things like that. So yeah, no, I guess again, we've added a few players. We've added real quality. We've added real hunger and desire, which is so important to a group. And yeah, the new lads are gelling really well with what we had from last season. Obviously, a couple of guys moved on. People couldn't commit and so on for different reasons. But yeah, look, we're very happy with what we have so far. Look, you could always add a few more if they became available and people wanted to test themselves at a higher level. But, you know, sometimes that isn't the case either. So, look, yeah, we're very much happy with what we have and, you know, very much looking forward to the first game away to Salt Hill on the 29th of August, I think it is.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Keith, it's always good to catch up. Thanks for joining us, Hein, and enjoy the football at the weekend, whatever you're up to.
Cheers, Ash, and good man. Thank you.
So there you go. That is Keith Cowan, of course, former Fun Harps skipper, talking to me earlier today, looking forward to the games, which, of course, this weekend involved Derry City and Fun Harps. Lots going on, of course, off the field with both clubs. Confirmation today, since that piece was recorded, that Derry have confirmed now McGinnis joining interim manager Mark Connolly's backroom staff in a coaching capacity. He will assist with both the first team and the academy at the Brandywell. Well, the new Irish League season gets up and running tomorrow evening. There's a full programme of matches taking place throughout the weekend. Tomorrow night, however, there's a big North West derby in the Championship to start things off. Newly promoted Strabane Athletic are taking on Institute. 7:45 is the kickoff time in Limavady for that game, as Strabane start life in the second tier, while in the top flight Premiership, the opening game of the weekend is Cliftonville against Crusaders. Just one other note on the programme this evening, the Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra 555 race. The 12th edition of the race starts on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. at the Mount Argyll Hotel in Letterkenny. A challenging route of 555 333 and 222 kilometres along the Wild Atlantic Way coastline. And the competitors are taking in some of the most scenic roads in the northwest. Mallon Head, Mamore Gap, Knockalla, Atlantic Drive, Hornhead, Slieve League, Barnesmore Gap, just to name a few. It all starts at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning at the Mount Errigal. And that is just about it from the Score programme for tonight. Once again, we thank Lawrence and his team here at Highland Motors for facilitating us this evening. We're here in the showroom. We had our GA section live from the showroom, and of course we've teamed up with Highland Motors once again to bring you coverage of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Championships, which swing into action this weekend. The matches that we will be covering this weekend, we've got Gwydor against St. Michael's on Saturday at 5, and then Glenswilly against Termon at 7:30. We'll have updates from both of those fixtures on Saturday, with our feature game taking place on Sunday afternoon. It starts at 4 o'clock. We're going to Pearce Memorial Park. It's our draw playing host to Kilcare on the opening weekend, and that's going to have full live match commentary on Highland this coming Sunday on afternoon on our sports programme. So there you go. That is it from the Score programme for tonight. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning. Chris Ashmore will have our sports bulletin just after the 8 o'clock news. From myself, Oisin Kelly, and indeed Mark Geller and Joe Dex, we thank you for joining us this evening, and the Score, of course, will be available online on highlandradio.com very, very soon.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.